there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Baseball family, welcome to your Thursday Night Live. I am Brig. I am co-hosting this ship tonight, and I got Brad here with me. How are you, Mr. Bradman?
I've had better days, Brig. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I'll bet you have. I'm sorry. He's feeling a little blackjacky today for Mr. Blackjack Brad.
Just a little bit.
A little salty just there. A little bit. Don't blame you. Don't blame you. And we are going to get into why. But first, let's go ahead and get into some current events that we have. We have three storylines I think are worth telling, and then we'll talk about the playoffs, which is the reason you're all here anyway. So we'll make this brief. Major League Baseball quietly yesterday announced that they are officially partnered with a CBD brand. Charlotte's Web, you heard that right. Charlotte's Web is the official CBD of Major League Baseball now. My question to you, Brad, is... what?
Well, I mean, it's just kind of one of those, why not, right? Like, they got in on crypto. They got in on, I mean, they got in on gambling officially, right? So then it's kind of like, it almost feels like it's the next step.
Yeah.
And I know not everybody's going to like it, but not everybody likes that they have all their alcohol deals either. And that's kind of what it's becoming.
Yeah. So it is. That's a good point. Let's talk about gambling. That's a perfect segue into Cincinnati's ballpark. The Great American Ballpark has announced that they have an official sports book in Cincinnati's ballpark with BetMGM, and the whole world, without actually saying it, is just posting Pete Rose pictures all over the face of this announcement. And obviously the irony is palpable, and I made this very clear online, but the irony is legitimately palpable. However, I'm going to just jump in and officially state my position. If you're involved with the wins and losses of a baseball game, you're not allowed to bet on baseball. The end.
Exactly
it
right.
Doesn't matter. The fact that they're going to open a sports book in Great American Ballpark is not relevant to the Pete Rose situation at all. Is it ironic? Yes. Does it have any bearing? No. Thank you. Brad, case closed for me. How do you feel?
I feel the exact same way. I did think it was funny. Just because, you know, the whole thing. So there's obviously that, like you said, the irony, everything that goes along with it is just absolutely hysterical. Like, that's something out of a sitcom.
It exactly is.
Right.
Yeah.
But
George, like you said, Saunders novel or short story.
Like you said, though, if you're involved in the wins and losses with the baseball team, you don't get to bet on baseball. And that's what he did. If he had waited until after he retired, if he had not been the player manager or even just the manager, Mr. Manager
at all. Yeah.
He could have gambled on baseball and it wouldn't have been a problem.
And you could bet on your team to win all day long. Yeah, it's still betting on baseball.
He could still use insider information because he knows guys in that clubhouse, right?
Like, and in the opposing clubhouses.
Let me know what's going on. Who's hurt? Yeah. What's going on? Who had bad BP today? Should I bet on you or no?
Yeah.
But he had to do it as a manager, and therefore he is banned from baseball for life. So
correct. Okay, let's move on past that, since I think we beat it with a we beat it. Randy Johnson, there's a photograph of Randy Johnson that has gone viral. He is an official NFL photographer, And it's very clear because the lens is credentials enough. I think not only his position on the field during an NFL game would be enough credentials as well, but he's wearing the vest. He's got the gear, and the whole world wants to know about Randy Johnson and his photography. So I thought I would tell you about it. Okay. Cause I did it. I did a little digging, and I think it's really fun and it's really worth talking about.
It's awesome.
So apparently he's a world-class photographer and not just a sports photographer.
And not real quick, not just recently either.
No. And that's the cool part about it is because when he was at USC, Southern California in his undergrad, he didn't just study photojournalism. He majored in photojournalism. That was his entire academic focus was photo J. So he's gone on the record now as all this has come out and said, look, this is nothing new for me. This is a passion of mine. Baseball was fun. It was a job. It paid the bills. I'm grateful for a 22-year career. And clearly, you know, he's in the Hall of Fame and all that. But he said his passion has been photography from the start, since the beginning. So he's in the last 10 years since he's retired, he's given over his life, this free time in his work life over to photography, which is really cool. So his work is incredible, by the way. And I did let's show you some of his work. Okay. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're watching live on Twitch or on Facebook, you'll be able to see these. This is one of his photographs. Randy Johnson took that photograph. For those of you listening, it is a very dilapidated boat that is washed up on shore during what looks to be low tide somewhere. And it's vibrant. The contrast is amazing.
It looks like a painting, to be honest with you.
It does. Yeah. It's me, you know, it's fabulous. So now I've done the photo J thing a lot and I'm impressed with this photograph. You did.
I tried and did not do well. So
it was admirable effort, Brad. I love taking pictures. I'm with Randy on this one. It's a big deal for me. Okay, so the next thing is, so this photograph, it's well lit, but you can see that there's some post-production going on, right?
Okay, yeah.
Check this one out, though. So he does wildlife, he does concerts, and he does sports. He also does travel. But this is a concert. This is Elton John. And look, first, let's just go over it. There's this thing in photo theory about leading lines. And you look at all the different leading lines on the top of the piano that are, the piano's obviously raised a little bit and you can see the lines of whatever's going on in the background, right? You can see the dials and all the different everything. Then you've got the lights behind him in a nearly perfect concentric circle pattern out like a sound wave or a ripple in a lake out away from his head on the reflection of the top of the piano.
Yeah.
So composition-wise, this is amazing.
It's a perfectly framed shot.
It's perfect. And so one of the hallmarks of great photography, especially if you're doing live stuff like this and nothing posed, is that the photograph, in photojournalism, you want the photograph to tell the whole story, right? One photograph tells the whole story. And this one does that. And that's a great, great indicator of his talent. So I think it's fun. I think we should talk about this. Where are they now and stuff like that? I think it's great. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
wanted really to bring cool. that up. Wanted to bring that up. Awesome. I'm going to go ahead and post a link since we used his photos. I'm going to post a link to his website that I found right there. It's posted on all the platforms, and you can go in and you can look at his work. He's got a gallery and different examples, and you really get a sense of the music he likes to listen to based on the artists that he goes to photograph in concert, which is really fun because that was some unexpected music taste that I thought was really cool. The last thing I want to say about this, and then we'll move on, is that the logo for his Photo J company is a dead bird.
a bird on its back. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a dead bird fitting. On its back. RJ51photos.com, Randy Johnson 51. Obviously, there's another nod there. All right. The last piece of current events that I want to get into, unless Brad has something he wants to add. But
Really, the thing about that is that I thought it was funny that it showed up because I honestly thought it was common knowledge that Randy Johnson was a photographer.
Because I didn't know. I had no idea.
Oh, really? Yeah, no, yeah. I saw it. I was like, I've seen him at sporting events like for years. Huh. And somebody caught him out in nature taking pictures too. It's like
very cool.
Yeah. So anyway, no, it's awesome though. I do love that he has a credential and that he's actually shooting the NFL though. Because I believe that was at the Cardinals game here in Phoenix, and so and where he lives. So makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it was super cool. Well, thanks. I didn't know it was common knowledge for anybody, honestly.
I follow Randy Johnson pretty closely though because he was a Mariner.
For sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
There's that. But anyway, sorry, go ahead, Brick.
No, it's okay. So TBS, it has been, you know, running all the American League games this postseason. And during during game one of the ALDS in New York, where Cleveland visited, they did a House of Dragon promo for the new series, House of Dragon, the new Game of Thrones spinoff. And they had an admittedly awful, like super low budget looking dragon, CGI dragon, fly into the stadium, look around for a minute, and then fly out of the camera over out of the frame over Lauren Shahadi's head. And if that wasn't bad enough, I'm just going to make my opinion very clear. It was horrible. It was so bad. If that wasn't bad enough, listen to what they had Bob Costas, of all people, read off to lead into this. Bob Costas, his script, unsettling and embarrassing is what I've called it. He says, "Now, you know, big sellout crowd here, but we weren't 100% sure this game was going to be played tonight." He said this with a straight face. "And for more, it's shocking. Here's Lauren Shahadi." And then he sent it over to her. She's in the outfield on the concourse holding her mic. And above her in a wide shot is this terrible CGI dragon.
Gosh.
I'm like... And then Bob, as soon as it flies out of frame and she kicks it back to Bob, he says, "I kind of feel like Orson Welles here a little bit with the War of the Worlds," right? When he was doing the radio show.
Oh, yeah.
And people ran out of their homes to actually see. That's how old a reference. See, I love that about Bob Costas. He reaches all the way back to when radios, people were huddled around their radios and listening to Orson Welles tell an animated story, a sci-fi story about alien robots invading Earth, and they ran out of their homes to discover that it was all a radio production. It wasn't the news. He said that's how this made him feel, and I think that's really interesting.
It's funny to me because, like, so people were just killing Bob Costas for this whole broadcast, like just the whole broadcast, not the pregame, like not just that, but like the entire thing. I saw a lot of people on Twitter were like, "I don't need to know about the batter's grandfather
right
to enjoy this game."
Right.
Because he goes so deep. And I get it. Like, he's an old school guy and you get it. I feel like you get this a lot more with the old school TV broadcasters, the old school baseball broadcasters, is that they want to keep the conversation going for the entire game rather than just letting it breathe for a pitch or two. Right. And so they have those deep dive stories. Of like, you know, his great great grandfather was the first throughout the first pitch in the first game in the Bronx when the New York Bridegrooms played the Yonkers batsman and, you know, whatever. It's just like they have those kind of stories because they feel like it's necessary to keep the conversation going because it's a 12-3 ball game and there's nothing else to talk about.
So what's wrong with that is my question.
Sometimes you just want to enjoy the game. Honestly, so much of the time, I just have the game on mute because that's all I want.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's because I get frustrated and annoyed with the national broadcasters really leaning heavy into the lead, the team that's winning, especially if my team's losing. But if it's a team that I don't like, right? They always lean heavily into the favorite the entire game. And that's why people don't like Joe Buck.
Sure.
Because he does that really, really hard. You're like, "Oh, Joe Buck hates my team." It's like, no, it's because your team loses. So it feels like it, right? Like,
right.
That's the way it goes. And I get really tired of it. So I watch games on mute a lot of times because of that. And so I don't feel like I need it. I will turn it up if something's happening. Like there's an injury, there's something weird going on, there's a challenge, like play challenge, whatever. But other than that, I typically have games on mute because I can't hear it anyway because I got kids running around.
It's interesting. So I'm going to disagree with you. I think that more often than not, Bob Costas brings the type of information to the broadcast that I want. He brings the human element. He brings the family storylines. He brings the came from nothing storylines. Like that's the kind of palpable human storyline that Bob Costas really does well, has for a long, long time. And at this part of his career, he does it in such a way that makes me think like I'm at his house. We're sitting around listening to him, you know, serenade. He's holding court sort of a thing and reflecting on his life and the most interesting people he's ever met, which are just as interesting as anybody I've ever met. And he has a way to bring them to life. So I like Bob because he's a storyteller and I value that. I think I see your point. I understand. And a lot of people don't like Bob for a lot of reasons. And I think that's one of them. I think we just conflict on the, I want the storyteller and some people don't. And that's fair.
And I get that. I get one because I want the story outside of the game. I don't want the story in the game. Like I'll watch pregame, postgame for stories. Yeah. I want the game during the game. Right. Like,
yeah.
Like give me like, I would rather take obscure stats from ESPN during the game. Like, oh boy, in this situation, this exact situation where it's a full moon on the third Tuesday of the month and indoor on grass.
The first player with
472 against lefties. That's fascinating information. Thank you for that. I like that.
Do you like that during the game?
Yeah. Give me
but
that.
You don't want to hear about
that. Tells you don't want to hear a story about the game than it does about like how his third grandfather came over on the Mayflower or whatever. I don't know.
The yeah, that's interesting.
Of the Mayflower.
Right.
So yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And I'll get into that more in just a second, but
yeah, you will. I see what you're saying. And I don't, but baseball family, we want to know how you feel. If you're watching live or if you're listening at home later, jump in the comments section or jump on, in the show notes or, yeah, we've been really heavy in the comment section on YouTube right now. That's probably the best way to get a hold of us. If you want to drop a line, just go ahead and drop a line in there and let us know what you think, because was the CGI dragon dumb? Was it great? Is the House of Dragon your favorite show ever? And you were really glad to see a crossover into baseball. Is it an abomination? Do you hate Bob Costas? If so, why?
And let me be clear. I don't hate Bob Costas. I really like Bob Costas a lot.
Right, right, right. I love Bob Costas for more than just his broadcast capabilities, though. I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. Before we get into the playoffs, let's let everybody know that even though inflation has gone up and prices of everything, I found out today that VA and Social Security benefits are getting an 8.9% increase at the first of the year. So even those prices are going up, ladies and gentlemen, but ours aren't. Okay, so you can support us on Patreon or you can jump on to the shop at 9plusus.com. Get yourself t-shirts. They're still $18. The hats are still $26 or whatever. They're not going to change. And we're going to keep it that way for you, especially with the holidays coming up. And we have a little something for you starting on Monday. We will make a big announcement about a couple of ways that you might be able to swing yourself some nice Christmas presents on the shop this year and help us out as well. So stay tuned Monday for that announcement. Brad, let's talk the NLDS.
Yeah, let's start with the NLDS because I'd like to not carry a sour mood into the NLDS. Let's do that.
I gave you, you're going last.
Okay.
Okay. You're going last. So you can go to bed angry.
I appreciate that. Well, fortunately, luckily for me, since I'm on West Coast time, I got a couple hours to settle down after that. So that'll be fine. Not worried about it.
Lucky. Okay.
All right. Let's talk NLDS, Brig.
Okay.
Who do we have first? First, we got the Padres at the Dodgers. This series is tied 1-1. The Dodgers came out and won the first game 5-3, and I think that we were all expecting that, right?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I think that we were also expecting them to come out win game two with the way that they've handled the Padres this year. But they flipped the script on us. The Padres came out and won that one 5-3. So Brig, we got ourselves a series.
The series
starts when the road team wins a game. Game two, it is tied. The Padres now have home field advantage until they lose at home.
3 days worth of home field advantage. They're going to go across the street and play three more games. Super exciting.
Amazing. Yeah. So, well, I mean, they'll be back for game five, but they have.
Oh, it's two. Is it two?
Yeah. Yeah. It's 2-2-1.
Oh, 2-2-1. Right.
So, but they have the advantage with home field coming back tied because now it's a 3-game series and two of those 3 games are at home. So that is a big, big, big deal, I feel like, for the Padres, despite me feeling like generally home field doesn't matter in baseball, but it is what it is.
But you just gave home field a nod, Brad.
I did. I know. That's what I'm saying. That's why I said despite. That's why I said despite.
You can't despite. You can't triple stamp and double stamp. You can't triple stamp and double stamp. You can't.
Just did.
It doesn't work that way. Okay, so the storyline for me was that LA's bullpen is fluid. And we made that clear in our predictions for the playoff primer. Was that they are going to be really, really fluid with their pitching staff. They're going to be really fluid with their bullpen. That is exactly what happened here in game one. They were able to match up against the batters that they wanted, even working within the three batter minimum rule. I thought that this was one of the most well-managed games that we've seen in a long time. Dave Roberts does a heck of a job no matter what. And this is a great example of it. Honestly, this is great.
Well, it's like what you said. What was it? It was during the playoff primer where you said that the Dodgers, it just feels like a well-oiled machine. And that's what it is they can just plug their parts in wherever they want to, and it works out for them because they're that good. Yeah. They're that well-balanced.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes guys are going to get got. And I think that we kind of saw that coming with that Yu Darvish matchup, that the Dodgers were probably going to have a hard time against him, and the Padres have a chance to get that one.
Yep.
And they did.
That's exactly right. And that's why I love the way it's strategically set up. So, and we've seen that throughout all the series where everybody kind of saving their Superman ace for game two. And I think
the teams coming in from the wild card series, they have to, because they had to throw their ace that game one, right?
Right.
So now with 5-6 days later, the rotation comes back around. That guy's ready to go. He's not ready to go game one. He's ready to go game two. And so that's where the bye comes in, Brig.
Yep. I know.
Jump out to that 1-0 lead.
But it's forcing teams that did get a bye to put their ace in day two as well, in game two, because they want to make a great pitching matchup.
Well, so not everybody's done that, though.
Really?
Because the Dodgers went with Urias game one.
Yeah, that's true.
The Astros went with Verlander game one. Right? Yeah. And the Braves went Max Fried game one.
Yeah, but Max Fried got ripped open, dude.
He did. Yes.
Dude, it was so bad. So let's segue into that. But first, let me finish this point. I don't think Gerrit Cole is the Yankees ace, and he started game one. And we know that Zach Wheeler is not Philly's ace, and he had to start game two, to your point, because of the playoff or the wild card.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's why that Kyle Wright got game two for Atlanta, was because they were going to have to go up against Zach Wheeler. That's what I think happened.
It could be. So here's the thing. I think I brought this up before, though, with the Yankees, that you've got Gerrit Cole, who you're paying as your ace. And so he's your guy you're going to go with game one. We'll get there, but he pitched like an ace.
Total. Well, and yeah, we will talk about that. I got some stuff to say.
Okay. All right. Let's go on to the Phillies and Braves.
Okay. So game one, 7-6 Philadelphia. Nobody saw that coming.
No, definitely not. Especially with the way the Phillies jumped out on them. Like that was a big deal. They were early and often on them. Yeah. And the bullpen, which I feel like has been the issue and could continue to be the issue going forward, held on and won that one 7-6. So good for them. Good for them to go in and getting it. Game two, the Braves did win that one 3-0. And Brian Snitker came out and said, "We don't need a bye week. We shouldn't be taking a bye week." I don't think you'd be saying that if you'd won game one, though.
Right. And he's just sore because of the rust versus rest conversation. I think
he doesn't like spring training either. He's kind of a Scrooge.
Yeah, you're right.
Kind of a Grinch.
You're right. But ultimately, what it comes down to for me is that Max Fried, lost it. in game one. That's really what it comes down to is Max Fried gave, he had 8 hits, 6 runs, 1 walk, and only 2 strikeouts in 3 1/3.
That's the number right there. 3 1/3.
3 1/3. Yeah.
The fact that he only barely made it into the fourth. That's a huge, huge deal.
Huge. And for you calculator people out there, mathematicians, that's a 10.80 ERA through 3 1/3. That's bad.
Yeah, for those of you who aren't sure, that's not good.
Yeah, for your game one starter, that's blah.
You're not giving your team a chance, which is a bummer, you know. But then, like he said, I didn't get the job done. And sometimes they don't. Sometimes they don't get the job done. There's nothing against Max Fried. He's a great pitcher. He just had a bad day, and it happens. It's fine. But so I expect him to come back and be better if there's a game five.
Totally. So then it becomes a defensive issue, right? It's like, what else is happening? And so I dug a little deeper. Philly left 8 runners on base, even though they won 7-6.
Wow.
They left 8 runners on base, and they only went 5-2 with runners in scoring position during game one.
5-2, 2 for 5?
Or 5-12. Excuse me. 5-12.
Okay.
They were 5-12 with runners in scoring position in game one. So then I was like, well, what did the Braves do? The Braves left 9 on base in game one, and they had an even worse 2 out of 9 with runners in scoring position.
Wow.
I was like, what? So this whole the whole game fell apart. It could have been it was way better matched than I think anybody expected it to be. That's what I need to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that a lot of us were expecting the Braves to come out and really hand it to the Phillies because they played so well lately. And I don't know that it's necessarily rest or rust or whatever. I think the Phillies have just found their groove.
Yeah.
I mean, guys are hitting who weren't hitting there for a little while. And it happens. It happens.
It does. So. It really does. But then game two was awesome. Kyle Wright comes out. Awesome for Atlanta. Kyle Wright comes out, 6 innings pitched, 2 hits, 0 runs, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. And then the rest of the Atlanta pitching held the Phils to just 3 hits over the rest of over 9 innings. They had 3 hits the whole time. 2 hits were Kyle Wright's, and then the rest of the bullpen gave up 1 more hit the rest of the time.
Nice.
But only 2 more strikeouts. So that goes to show that the defensive fielding capabilities are unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really is like that's one of Atlanta's calling cards, right? Pitching and defense. I guess that'd be 2 calling cards.
Yeah.
They come together, and I mean, there's a reason they're the defending champs.
It is. And let's get into that right now really quick. Let me go ahead and switch hats while I talk about this.
I love that you're switching hats, by the way.
Thanks. The Braves are the Braves are the defending world champions, Brad. And they are playing day games. Houston won more games than any team in the American League, and they are playing day games. Now, to many, especially Braves fans, this is an enormous slap in the face. They're not getting primetime broadcast billing. They're not getting primetime game time billing. Think of the people who can't go to the game because of work obligations or whatever, or they have to take off such and such amount of time in order to do it because of the drive or whatever it may be. Whereas if it's a 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock game, you can drive to the ballpark, work, kids go to school, go to the ballpark. I think this goes way farther than just broadcast rights and broadcast implications. I think that's the heaviest part of it, but I think it goes farther than that.
But it also doesn't really make sense from a logistical standpoint. Like the East Coast team should have the first games and the West Coast team should have the second game because the Astros are playing day games too with the Mariners. And then you've got the Yankees and Guardians who are playing at night. Like that doesn't make any sense to me. Like play the Yankees and Guardians at 5 o'clock local time.
Sure.
Okay. That's fine because that's about the same start time as what you're getting with the Mariners and Astros. And then have that game start at 7 o'clock local time in Houston. And not as many people on the East Coast are going to get to watch it, but if they want to watch it, they'll stay up. If they're not going to watch it, they're not going to watch it anyway.
Well, that's what's happening in the LA San Diego problem. I'm calling it a problem because everybody, it's a problem now. And for me on the East Coast,
it should be a problem because it doesn't make any sense the way that they're doing it, because I feel like the LA San Diego game, that's starting when it should be.
Yeah, it is.
Right.
And it's 9 o'clock my time. Tough. I got to deal with it. If I want to watch the game, I watch the game.
That's time zones, man. That's life.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's never made any sense to me, because I think it was 2018 or 2019. The Astros played a day game and Alex Bregman was complaining about how he got a sunburn.
Yeah.
Cause he's like, I'm sorry. It's like, why are we playing in the day when we're the defending champs? He's like, I've got a sunburn and I'm not happy about it.
Right.
I kind of railed on him because I don't really like him, but at the same time, I was like, he's got a point.
I don't like him either. Day. Yeah, but they shouldn't be, because they should get primetime billing. And that's Atlanta's concern, and it's a legitimate concern. And so the Yankees, even though I'm a Yankees fan, I do see the disparity in the markets and in the TV deals and whatever negotiations are taking place. And it is kind of a crime. It just is.
And I do wonder, though, if it is the TV networks that have a big role in it, that, like, we're paying all this money to get the Yankees. We want them in prime time.
Of course, that's what they want. Well,
you'd still have them in prime time if you for East Coast games.
Yeah, of course, that's what's going on. But they want to make sure that the West Coast fan base get to watch. That's all.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a problem.
It is a big problem.
Should be some sort of meritocracy there, but they will never happen.
And you know what, though? Like, to that, it should, like, legitimately, the World Series champion should be rewarded with day games in the playoffs next year. If you make it again to the playoffs, you should be rewarded with primetime games.
Okay. That's what I meant to say. That's what I agree. Yeah, I agree with that. And that would be a cool thing, kind of like home field advantage went to the All-Star game winners and stuff like that, like back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. That it'd be kind of like that, and that's cool. I like that.
It would be, but I think that the players would like this better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. Okay, baseball family, don't forget to jump on the shop. We publish the big show every Tuesday, by the way. We've got some very exciting stuff coming up that we want to share with you. Like I said, we've got an announcement coming up this Tuesday, and we're going to do Monday Live again, Brad.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. So you can join us Monday Night Live for the big show. We call it the big show. It's our main podcast episode. And then if you don't get a chance to join us at 9:30 Eastern on Monday night, that's okay, because it'll come out everywhere. Tuesday, we do that. We do that every time. So
we
no
do
matter what, every week. Playoffs, great. Postseason, still doing it. Preseason, here for you. Spring training, got it. All year round. We take no breaks from all y'all. I mean, we weasel some in there, but you know what I'm saying? All right. I'm going to shut up now. Brad, let's talk about the ALDS. You go while I switch hats.
Okay. Get your Yankee hat on, Brig, because we're going to talk the Cleveland baseball team at the New York Yankees. Game one. So first off, the Yankees lead this series 1-0. It was all Yankees game one. All Yankees. Yeah. Anthony Rizzo hit that bomb, man.
Unbelievable.
It was amazing. It was so good. Yeah. Like, normally, like, honestly, Brig, my entire life, I cheered against the Yankees. Then I became friends with you. I was like, yeah, I can go for the Yankees to win. That'd be just fine.
Thank you, sir. That's very nice of you. But, also, I get it.
But anyway, so it was cool to see that. Gerrit Cole, like I said, pitched like an ace. Absolute ace. Shut him down. And I think it goes a long way to shutting a team down the way that he did. Pitched 6 1/3, 8 strikeouts, 1 run, 4 hits is all. Only gave up one home run to Kwan. Like Briggs said, he's a problem. But shut everybody else down. Only 4 hits against that team that is known for stringing together hits. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Only scored 3 runs against Tampa Bay the whole series.
Right. Right. No, the 1 run doesn't surprise me. That's not what surprises me. The fact that they only had 4 hits the entire time and one was a first inning home run. That is a big deal to me.
Now,
a team that
is able
to get on base.
Here's the thing. Yeah. And I agree with you here. Here's the thing about Gerrit Cole for me. Cause I was watching close, like nervous Nelly style. Yeah. Gerrit Cole, we know, has had playoff problems in the past, especially in New York. And he's going to give up the long ball eventually. He always does. It's a thing about him. But here's the other thing about Gerrit Cole is in the past, we've seen him hang his head, right? And he beats himself up, and it seems like there's no mental toughness, no mental strength or whatever. He can't let it go and move on. But that was the special part about this game. He gave up the long ball. It was in the first inning to a rookie. I think previous iterations of Gerrit Cole would never have let him move on from that. But the Gerrit Cole we had that day on Tuesday allowed him to straighten up and fly right. And it was so, so good to see, because now we're getting Gerrit Cole 2.0. And that's the Gerrit Cole we need. That's money well spent, is a guy who can come back from that and previously unable to do. But this year he's shown that he can. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a big deal, because I think we've talked about it before that you get in Gerrit Cole's head and you own him.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can get to him early, then you're set. So yeah, I think it's a big deal that he was able to bring it back in, goose Fraba his way into the zone once again, and did really well. It's awesome. Good for him. Good for the Yankees for jumping out and get that first win, because I don't know that the Guardians are necessarily a team that even can compete with the Yankees, but you still have to get that first game.
I agree. And I don't know. I don't think they can compete with the Yankees. I think when the Yankees are on, and they're going to steamroll Cleveland. Honestly, yeah. I think they have they should be steamrolling Cleveland.
Yeah. Yep. You're absolutely right.
No disrespect to Cleveland. It's just,
I mean, they were able to win their division, right?
Yeah.
So, like, obviously they know. Sorry, I got a speaker thing that's going on a different window. and like music playing on an app, throwing me off. What's going on? But anyway, no, like, that's the thing is, like, Cleveland won their division. Granted, it's a weak division, but nonetheless, they won it. Right. Yeah. They were able to complete the task and win the division. So they obviously deserve to be there, but
right,
their road's going to end here, because it would have ended against the Yankees. It would have ended against the Astros, because those teams were just head and shoulders better than them. And it's just
way.
It's going to show.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. So I totally agree. Are you ready?
I think so. Yeah. So I have to tell you this first going into this is that did I tell you I was stress eating Wetzel's pretzels today?
Yeah.
So yeah. Mel came home with pretzel bites and I ate a bunch. Like, so stressed eating, and I am still so full.
That's awesome. <unreal. laughs> I've been pounding Fresca during the games. That's how stressed I am. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know if I could make it through one Fresca, but let's go. let's go to the Mariners and Astros. So the Astros lead this series 2-0. The Astros walked off game one, 8-7. Yordan Alvarez. Okay. Let's talk about this for just a minute, Brig.
Okay.
Comes time for Yordan Alvarez to hit, and the Mariners decide to bring in Robbie Ray. They want the lefty lefty matchup. Okay. I got some numbers for you. And okay. This is the thing, too. There were two outs.
I know.
In the bottom of the ninth. The score was 7-5, two runners on. And I can't remember if I texted you or Jewel and was like, all he's got to do is keep him in the yard.
Right.
Just got to keep him in the yard. I don't care if he hits a double. The game is tied. Just keep him in the yard. So this is the thing. And this is where, like, looking at all these is like, I start to have more of a problem with this move. Because, like I said, I understand the lefty-lefty. That's a thing. Sure. The only guy in the American League to give up more home runs than Robbie Ray was Gerrit Cole.
Yeah.
33 for Gerrit Cole, 32 for Robbie Ray. But you look at this. Robbie Ray against left-handed batters has a .212 batting average this year, .236 against righties. Only four of his home runs have come against lefties.
Whoa.
So there's that, right? Pretty good matchup. However, you look at the other side of this thing, and I think this is the side that you've really got to consider, because Yordan Alvarez is an outstanding pitcher or hitter,
Yeah.
And you throw out the splits for the pitcher and you concentrate on the hitter at this point, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
you have to.
Versus left-handed pitchers, 321 this year. And the announcers, that like the broadcasters said that when they brought him in. I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
It's not going to be good, because Yordan Alvarez is a completely different guy in October. Despite how good he is during the season, he's a monster of that version come October. So he had 37 home runs this year. Only 10 came off left-handed pitchers. So I can see, right? You can keep it in the yard. He's not going to hit a home run against a lefty. Well, he threw that first pitch, throws that fastball, and it was like middle away. And I was like, got away with one there. You got to get that thing up. And sure enough, exact same spot, and it ends up in the upper deck.
Yep.
I was furious.
I was so sad. I wasn't furious. I started confused with Robbie Ray. I was like, what? And then I was just like, the end.
Yeah,
it was awful.
It was unreal. And that man and the Mariners, they jumped out on the Astros. They ran Verlander early, got to him early, man. Ran deep counts. Like I told you, Brig, deep counts. You have success against Verlander. And they did, exactly that. Exactly that. Yeah. And then, of course, the Astros don't get on base. Instead, they hit home runs.
I know.
Just got to keep them in the yard, but they couldn't keep them in the yard. Then it came down to that. And man, it was like, I was like almost in tears though. I was like furious and sad and mad. It's like, oh my gosh, I couldn't hardly handle myself. And then game two comes today, right? And I was like, okay, it's a new day. Luis Castillo. Sorry, what?
I want to talk about Verlander really quick. I just pulled up his line because it makes it's going to punctuate your point really quick. He pitched 4 innings. He gave up 10 hits, 6 runs, 1 walk, only 3 strikeouts, and one of those was a home run. That's a 13.50 ERA across 4 innings for your ace, in quotes. Yeah. That's rough.
Mm-hmm.
He just drummed out of there, man.
Brutal,
okay,
man.
Go ahead.
Talk about game 2. Okay, so game 2, I'm coming in. I'm like, okay, you know what? The best you hope for. Best case scenario, you're looking for a split on the road. Luis Castillo going game 2. That's just fine. Okay. I don't want to say you pencil it in, but you say you've got a great shot at winning game 2. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. 2-1 lead. Up comes Yordan Alvarez. Can't get Peña out. Got to get Peña out. Can't get him out.
Peña.
2-run home run out in the left field in the Crawford boxes. 3-2 lead. And then Bregman goes and gets the insurance run in the 8th inning, 4-2 game. Now, this is the thing. This is the thing, Brig, that this is why I said the Mariners would make the playoffs this year, but not make a run to the World Series.
Yeah.
And why I think that it's next year is the first year it can happen.
Yeah.
Young players. The Mariners have a whole lot of young players. And yes, you can say young players have the endurance. They can heal. They're fine, right? The other thing is young players don't have the endurance. They do not have the endurance for beyond 162 games, physically, mentally, because to this point, like, yeah, they've been playing a lot of games, but the grueling 162 game schedule of Major League Baseball is unlike anything else, unlike anything they've experienced. Traveling 100%. From city to city.
Yeah.
Playing every single day almost. doubleheaders. And then you get into the playoffs, and it's the next level. It is the next level. Like, I will give the Mariners credit here. A lot of the players have showed up. They played really, really well. That first game, like, came out, and they hit them in the mouth. Right?
They really did. They came right up swinging.
Like, the perennial division champions who have treated the Mariners like the little brothers forever. They hit him in the mouth big time. And it was encouraging to see, but then at the same time, the experience, because I think that the Mariners bullpen's gassed. A bunch of young guys, I think they're gassed at this point. And the starting pitchers are going to be fine because those guys are rested and everything, and they're just emptying the tank. But I think this series might go 4.
I think we predicted 4.
I think we did too. Yeah.
So this is in line with that. I think they're going to take one at home, probably the first one.
Well, it has to be the first one.
Well, yeah, you're right. Yeah. duh.
Yeah, it'll have to be
Thanks,
Saturday.
Math. Yeah. They're going to take the first one at home. They're going to come on a high. It's going to be electric. And they're going to have home field advantage, Brad.
The electric factory.
It's going to happen. It really is. And
it has
and that's
to.
Great. It has
it
to.
It has to happen.
Well, the fan base needs it, but so do these players. They need the young guys. They need to see, like, not only can we compete, but we can literally hang in there and win. And I think that the entire franchise needs to know that, and they need only one game to do it. They almost got it in game one. They narrowly avoided it today in game two. Like, it was, oh, I wanted Ty France to hit a bomb so bad. I wanted it so bad. And not just because I'd rather face the Mariners than the Astros.
Astros.
Although that is a huge part of why I feel that way. Right. It's not the only reason.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm into romantic storylines. That's the reason.
But yeah, it would have been awesome. Oh, and the thing too is, like, coming into the end of the top of the ninth inning today, I was texting my friend and I was like, okay, there are two guys up and then Julio is up. Adam Frazier goes up there and draws a 4-pitch walk. And then Beautiful. I was like, oh shoot, here we go. It could happen. And then JP Crawford lines out to the first baseman and Frazier gets doubled up. It's like, gosh dang it. And then of course Julio Rodriguez doubles into the left center gap. If he does that with two guys on, you got yourself a tie game.
Totally.
It just that kind of bounce. The last like the late innings, it's been that kind of bounce, which is frustrating because this is a team that has typically had a lot of success late in games, right? Like, you have like your like if they're down, they'll come back late. But yeah, it's been really frustrating to watch that. So I really do hope they can get game one, give Seattle their first postseason win in Seattle in 20 years.
Stop it. Don't bring up stupid game.
It's crazy.
You found another way to touch my dark spot again.
It's just crazy. It's crazy though, Brig.
It is crazy.
Well, that shouldn't be your dark spot because the Yankees were the team that beat the Mariners that year.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they won that series 4-2.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. So I will never forget, Brig. I was super into playing Yahoo games, like the pool game. I was sitting listening to the game on the radio while I was playing Yahoo pool, sitting in chats with people who were Yankees fans. Not a good shouldn't have been there. Let's just say that.
And you were how old? That's a big even people 15-year-olds in New York. It's on a different level than 15-year-olds in the Pacific Northwest. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, let's move on. We got to talk about the rest of the division series because no matter what, by the time you hear from us again and join us on Monday night, they will be done. The championship series all begin Tuesday at the earliest. And so we will be bringing you NL and ALCS highlights and updates and prep and all the things you want to look out for in the storylines to pay attention to come Monday night and Tuesday morning for those of you listening. And then, but let's get there first. Okay. Friday, tomorrow, October 14th, or today if you're listening tomorrow, game two, Cleveland is playing at New York. What? Why are you laughing at me, Brad?
Today, if you're listening tomorrow, I thought that was funny.
It was a true story. Okay.
It is. True facts.
Cleveland and New York got postponed due to weather today. So instead of game two being today, it got pushed to Friday. So that will be tomorrow.
Which is today, if you're listening today.
Great. Yes. Thanks, Brad. Woo! That'll never get old. Okay. It was at 1 p.m. on TBS. Game 3, Atlanta at Philadelphia, 4:30 p.m. on FS1. Game 3, L.A. at San Diego, 8:30 p.m. on FS1. These are all Eastern Standard Times. So then we've got Saturday, Game 4, Atlanta at Philly, 2 p.m. on FS1. Game 3, Houston at Seattle, 4 p.m. Eastern time on TBS. That's an elimination game for Seattle. They have to win to advance. Game
win
three, New York. Yeah. Game three, New York will be traveling to Cleveland, 7:30 p.m. Eastern on TBS. Game four, LA is going back to San Diego, 9:30 p.m. or staying in San Diego, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on FS1. Then Sunday's games will be Game 4, Houston at Seattle if necessary. Game 5, Philly, and that'll be a 3 o'clock if necessary. Game 5, Philly at Atlanta, 4:30 p.m. on FS1 if necessary. Game 4 of New York and Cleveland, 7 p.m. Eastern on TBS if necessary. Game 5 of San Diego at LA, 9 p.m. Eastern on FS1 if necessary. And then, so we may not see any ball games Sunday or Monday. But if we do push the American League somehow makes it all the way to Game 5, those games will be played on Monday, Seattle at Houston, 5 p.m. Eastern on TBS, and Cleveland at New York, 7:30 p.m. on TBS. That's Monday if we need them.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's weird that it feels weird that it's wrapping up that fast, that it's only a week, but that's baseball, man. That's the way that goes. Yeah. You know, looking at the TV broadcasting where these games are going to be on TV, it really is frustrating to me that it's on TBS and FS1, that it's not on like Fox or
ABC.
You know, yeah, the ESPN doesn't have these and putting them on ABC. Like, I feel like Major League Baseball needs to push more for that. And I get like some of it, you know, that Fox doesn't want to put baseball in prime time through all of October, but at the same time, they kind of should, right?
Yeah,
feel like they should, because I don't know, or Major League Baseball just really needs to push for it more on their TV deals. Maybe take a little bit less money if that's what it takes. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. But this whole on cable and satellite only thing really drives me crazy. Even though it doesn't really affect me, because I had to have all the same stuff to watch the games anyway. But it really bugs me, especially being on TBS, because it feels like a really exclusive channel.
It's just a brand building thing, right? That's my issue with it. Is it's inaccessible to anybody, and that I have that's a problem the issue with that.
Inaccessibility.
I don't want it to be inaccessible to anybody. Now, I'm a baseball purist, right? I'm going to watch baseball over football every time. So, you know, I'm not the one driving their decision making and spend. You know, I mean, like, they're not thinking, now what would Brig like us to do? They don't care.
Maybe they should.
They should. This is what I'm saying. This is all a ploy to get the mojo working. Baseball family, write your alderman and let them know that Brig has an opinion, and so does Brad, on we have opinions on broadcast deals for Major League Baseball games. Anyway, Brad, do you want to say anything else before we wrap this bad boy up?
No, just keep an eye on these series, because I feel like they're going to, I mean, like the Seattle and Houston series, even if it's a sweep, it's going to be a thriller on Saturday. Like, that's going to be an exciting game to watch, regardless of the outcome. I will be stress eating again. You know, I was actually thinking about that the other day. I was like, you know, a lot of people gain weight in October because of candy. No, I'm stress eating because of playoff baseball. That's what
I'm beginning. I'm doing the same thing. And this Monday's episode will be brought to you by kombucha for your gut health needs.
There you go. But hey, don't forget that we are partnered with Chinook Cedary right here in the middle. You can use this discount code, BTPOD, and get 10% off your order. They really are the best seeds ever. I was munching on some Parma Pep today.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, it's fantastic. A lot of people, I get a lot of feedback on that, and it's a lot of people's favorite flavor. It's really good. It's strong flavor, really good. So head over to ChinookCedary.com. Do yourself a favor and your mouth a favor and support the podcast. Use BT Pod at checkout for 10% off your whole order. Don't forget to jump on the shop. You want to tell them about the shop, Brig?
Yeah, we have a shop with stuff on it. You can buy it. It's fun. I already talked about it once, but I'll talk about it again because there's cool stuff on there. I got a tank top on. This is a official Baseball Together tank top. I'm a holdout on the summer months. I know they're dying, but I don't want them to go away. So Brad's also got his Autism Awareness Baseball Together t-shirt on right there. I'm wearing my perfect hat. This is ours. And we just love bringing you baseball content of all sorts. I get compliments on my hat. This hat especially, I get compliments on all the time. People want to stop me and talk about it and ask the question. So if you're into that kind of subtle social interaction like I am, this is a great way to go. So, but you can jump on 9plusus.com. It's NINEPLUSUS.com. 9plusus.com. You can get yourself something awesome. Stay tuned on Monday, like I said, for an announcement on how you can get a discount code.
That's right, for sure. And don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and review the show. Let us know what you think about what we're doing. If there's something specific you want to see, especially during the off season, don't hesitate to jump in the mailbag and send us an email with your questions, comments, concerns, and especially your snide remarks, because we love them.
Oh, yeah.
But baseball family, thank you so much for joining us, and make sure you enjoy the playoffs, and we will catch you next week.